This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Good evening. Two communities in the South Bay mourning tonight after a crime rampage that spanned through San Jose and Milpitas. Three people were killed, five others are injured. And tonight, we're learning more about two of the victims. They have yet to be officially identified, but we found a small memorial on the corner of East Santa Clara and 16th Streets in San Jose. The sign reading, "Rest in Peace, Mr. and Mrs. Pham." Neighbors still in disbelief after the suspect allegedly ran down three people in front of their home, killing two of them.
To pull in our driveway and just hit them and leave. Something must have been wrong with him. The last couple of days, all they've been doing is working on their house. They were friendly. They said hi to everybody. Everybody in the neighborhood, they would say hi.
And new surveillance video just in. It's giving us a glimpse of the suspect driving in that neighborhood. You can see him pull into a lot and turn around in the upper right corner as people casually go about their business, not knowing anything's wrong. The killings of Mr. and Mrs. Pham were all part of a two-hour-long spree that started in San Jose's Pepper Tree neighborhood a little after 3 p.m. yesterday. Police said the suspect stabbed and carjacked two separate people about 3 miles apart. He was driving a stolen car when he allegedly hit and killed the Phams on Santa Clara Street. Then in Milpitas, police say he stabbed another person to death in a grocery store parking lot. The suspect was finally arrested around 5 p.m., not far from the Smart and Final. There you are. There he is. You can see him in the blue shirt as officers cuffed him. He's been identified as 31-year-old Kevin Parcarana. Now, our Sean Chitness tells us he was known to law enforcement. He even had a long criminal history.
Tonight, police say they are grateful they were able to get this suspect into custody because they worry the senseless violence would have only continued. They point out that they believe each of his victims was randomly targeted, but he was intentional in attacking all of them.
A deadly rampage around the South Bay ends with three people killed and three others injured. A day later, city leaders in two different communities are trying to find out how the suspect could commit such violent crime.
Just random attacks. Like was mentioned, senseless acts that this individual committed.
Police say Kevin Parcarana stabbed multiple victims and intentionally ran into pedestrians with the car he stole in San Jose. Before officers were able to surround him in Milpitas, taking him into custody after causing havoc at multiple scenes. San Jose police say the suspect was well known to them. He had a long criminal history dating back 10 years. Court records show felony convictions for family violence and misdemeanor convictions.
We're looking at not only a mental health, substance abuse, again, his prior history to see what the motive was. We have to look at, you know, given his history, where the system failed, if that were the case.
We talked to neighbors who live across the street from the suspect in San Jose. They say police were here often. But Thursday night was different. They knew it was worse because of the response from police.
There was just a lot of them, like, coming in and out of the house. So we thought, you know, like before, they're just trying to calm him down and bring him out.
Neighbors say it's devastating to learn that so many people have been hurt by the actions of one man in an afternoon.
I just feel bad for his family and all the families involved because, I mean, that's very traumatic.
Up until Thursday, they were only concerned for the suspect's family, unprepared for the thought he could harm others.
We never really had any fears or anything like that. Like, it was just, oh, the poor neighbor again having an episode.
And so again, police saying that they do not know the motive yet, so they are asking the public to come forward if you had any interactions with this suspect that could help them in their investigation.
Sean, thank you. The massive search for the suspect all playing out near Milpitas High School, where hundreds of students and their families were attending the graduation ceremony. The chief says they made the tough decision to let the event go on.
We elected to provide site security. So that way we knew where all the pedestrians were. We thought that that was the best approach to promoting public safety. So we brought in additional officers to basically surround the ceremony. And then we put plainclothes detectives on the ground inside of the ceremony. At that time we had a photo, so we knew who we were looking for.
And we do have much more on the suspect's background and today's full presser with San Jose Mayor and Police on KPIX.com. a summer school stabbing. Now under investigation in San Mateo. This happened at the San Mateo High School summer program. A message to students, parents, and staff say two students got into a fight just before 10 this morning. One stabbed the other, and police got there within minutes. The victim had minor injuries. We're told there were no other injuries or threats to the campus. All right, let's take a live look out at some of the Bay Area's rural hills. Let's take you inland East Bay. Look at this, hot and dry conditions all around the Bay Area. A reminder that peak wildfire season is creeping even closer. And if we take you to Santa Rosa, take a look. Fire officials say they'll declare this Monday to be the start of fire season. Though the declaration is largely used to allow the city to enforce weed abatement. It comes as CAL FIRE begins to mobilize more staff ahead of peak wildfire season. And that's typically between July and November. So fire officials say you should remove dry leaves and branches from on and around your home and try to have a 30-foot buffer of defensible space. Review your evacuation procedures and have a go bag ready just in case. So we're going to bring in Paul to talk about the fire season. And I heard that actually because there's still some moisture that they're actually not getting rid of the defensible space yet. Is that in some areas?
Yeah, they're going to have to do it eventually because the flashy fire fuels are going to dry out. It's just a matter of when. The below average temperatures recently have helped with preventing that drying from happening as fast, but now we're in for a warm weekend.
It will happen.
And it's going to happen. Yeah. Let's take a look at tomorrow's temperatures compared to what's normal for this time of year and exactly average temperatures around the bay. But farther inland, we're going to reach up into the 80s. Now, it's not hot, so we're not off to the exceptionally early start to fire season that we've seen for the past few years, might even say the past several years, but this is kind of the way that things are supposed to play out, where we get some rain during the wintertime, and then especially those lighter fire fuels begin to dry out. Now, you'd expect with warmer temperatures that maybe the fire danger would be a bit elevated. Warmer temperatures are just one of the things that go into our fire danger index. There's the temperatures, but also relative humidity levels, wind speed, wind direction, the amount of moisture in the fire fuels, and even with warmer than average temperatures for inland parts of the Bay Area, we're looking at the North Bay and inland and the East Bay, our fire danger index is going to be lower than the halfway point on our 0 to 10 scale. We want to be as close to zero as possible. We'll be around a 3 or 4 on the high end of things, which means it's not impossible that a couple of grass fires could start if something got them started, but it's not likely that the wind is going to be strong enough or conditions are going to be dry enough for it to be a huge concern as we head through the upcoming warm weekend. And warm temperatures aren't going to last too long. We'll take a look at the cool down for next week and maybe an outside chance of showers. It's coming up in a few minutes.
Pop-up showers.
Pop-up.
Okay, thank you. All right, in San Francisco, Mayor London Breed officially kicked off Pride Month with the raising of the rainbow flag at City Hall. She was joined by Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis and San Francisco's first drag laureate, Darcy Drollinger. She also took a moment to reaffirm the city's commitment to protecting LGBTQ rights.
The next generation, they're watching San Francisco. They know that this is the place that they can come to get help, to get hope, and to get support.
So it hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine when it comes to recognizing Pride Month. An elementary school in Los Angeles dealt with protests and even threats ahead of a planned Pride Month assembly. Tina Patel reports from the scene in L.A.
School officials say that there are pride assemblies taking place today despite the large protests and counter protests outside the school. There was a separate entrance for children to be dropped off this morning because at times it did get heated here in the street. Take a look.
We don't want any type of violence. We want to protest.
Several of the parents protesting here kept their kids home from school today because they did not think it was right for an elementary school to be having a pride event. They say they don't have any issues with the LGBTQ community, just that sensitive topics like gender and identity should be taught by parents, not schools. But law enforcement says since news of the pride assembly got out, there have been threats against a trans teacher here and a pride flag was burned. That's why the LGBTQ community decided to come out and have a counter protest. There were moments when it looked like things might turn violent, but police were able to keep the peace. Still, the superintendent and school board president said it was disappointing to see the tension out here.
There's a misrepresentation. That's what's taking place here today. There is an assembly and the reading of books. All of the books approved by the state of California as being age appropriate for these students.
This is creating danger right now for gay kids in this school district. This being on television makes them afraid. They did not have the right to make people afraid to be a child in this district because you're gay.
There's been a lot of talk about the A's moving to Las Vegas, but it's not a done deal yet. And now there is another pitch to keep the team in Northern California, not Oakland, but in Sacramento. Lawmakers in Nevada have until Monday to approve a funding deal for a new stadium on the Vegas Strip. But with the plan getting pushed back, it's still uncertain if they're going to meet that deadline. So if not Sin City, why not Sacramento? Ask city officials. They tell us they have even written to the MLB commissioner and offered up two viable options for a ballpark in West Sacramento.
The A's have told us if the deal falls through with Vegas, they'll hear us out. But we need Major League Baseball commissioner to acknowledge Sacramento as a site.
The city believes the plan will get support from fans as well as the Kings and Governor Newsom. Pick up trash, get a treat. That's tomorrow. An Oakland ice cream shop offering up free ice cream for anyone who brings in a bag of trash collected from their neighborhood. So you can make the swap between noon and 6 p.m. at My Goodness Ice Cream Shop at 2834 Lakeshore Avenue. It's by Lake Merritt. All the donated trash will be picked up by the city, and you can have free ice cream. I think that's a brilliant idea. All right. Thanks so much for watching us. The news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area. We'll see you back here at 11 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend. Get some trash. Get some ice cream.